Charch is going to be with us every Thursday. We're still efforting to get him. But Charch will be with us as he's been for many, many years. Thursdays at 11:25 with fantasy football tips. You can follow Charch on X at Paul Charchian. He's got podcasts galore. Fantasy Football Weekly and Chop are two of the biggest. We got opening night tonight. Charch will join us here momentarily. You know, I don't have a smell test pick for tonight. I know a lot of you thought that I would give out the Cowboys tonight, and there is a lot more public action on Philly than on Dallas tonight. There's just too much sharp action on Philly as well, so I'm going to back off the game overall. By the way, I do like the under a little bit tonight. Just I might play that. It's 47.5. Might play the under, but no official picks after a 5-1 first weekend of smell test selections. But there is a game on Sunday that I love, and I think it's going to fit in with something Charch will talk about as sort of a surprise quarterback starter for this weekend. But do we have him yet?
I have to reset the phone. I don't know what's happening. I keep trying to... It's either going to voicemail or it just doesn't ring. So we're resetting the phone.
You want to text him and tell him to call us?
Yeah, I'm going to shoot him a text right now.
Yeah, shoot him a text and tell him to call us. And we'll see if we can get him that way. Fantasy football-wise, I think most of you know this. I like talking to Charch just about football in general because he's very sharp on football. I'm, you know, more of in that category of getting a rush from betting on games. A lot of you, you know, have gotten it through fantasy football over the years, and I like it a lot more now, especially in these guillotine leagues where it's survive in advance and that's it. That's fun to survive in advance. Lowest, you know, score gets eliminated each week. By the way, we'll have obviously some of those, you know, weekly suicide pools where all you've got to do is pick a winner, but you can't repeat that team during the course of the year. You know, week one, it seems like in those suicides that the first 2 weeks eliminates like three quarters of the field every year. You know, last year week one was Cincinnati losing to New England. They were I think they were the biggest favorite on the board in week one last year, and they lost that week one game at home against a team that would only win three more games during the course of the season. And sort of looking at this week, there aren't a lot of massive underdogs. The Titans are the biggest underdog this weekend. They're getting 8.5 at Denver. And then the second biggest underdog is tonight, the Cowboys getting 8, although I've seen 8.5s out there as well. But wouldn't surprise me if, like, you know, the world has Cincinnati in a suicide pool and somehow Cleveland wins that game. Do we have Charch? All right, we got Charch, finally. Phone line issues aside, one of my favorite segments of the week, Paul Charchian, right with us every Thursday in this time slot to talk fantasy football. Before we get to fantasy football and some of what you want to talk about today, have you made sort of a Super Bowl pick for this season? Do you have an NFC champion and an AFC champion and an ultimate winner?
I do. And I know it's super boring, but the best roster in the NFL by a margin remains the Eagles. And, you know, teams don't repeat. And I hate being chalky because, you know, what fun is that? There's no fun in chalk. But I just think the reality is the best roster by a margin is still the Eagles. And
okay.
You know, there's two teams in your division that are going to offer zero resistance this season. So, I just think the Eagles have got the clearest path. And I'm a pretty big contrarian. I really believe everything changes every year a lot, but I don't see that changing. I know that is not really the answer that your listeners want to hear.
No. So, who do you have out of the AFC?
Yeah, AFC is I think way, way more wide open this year, but you know, my belief is that this is the year that the Baltimore Ravens finally put it all together and we finally get the monkey off the back for Lamar Jackson. It's just such a good roster. You know, we know they can run the ball, Derrick Henry. They can pass the ball well. The Ravens defense got tons better last year. They poured a bunch of draft picks into it. And, yeah, you know, I heard what you're saying about Cleveland and Cincinnati, and that is a trap game for sure. And those teams, Cleveland's going to be a lot better, but I think the Steelers will be a surprisingly easy out for Baltimore too. So I've got, that's my picks. Pretty chalky, and I'd love to go a different way. You know, like I think Carolina's going to be really improved, but we can't talk Super Bowl about with Carolina.
Do you have Baltimore winning the Super Bowl over Philly?
You know, it's funny. I guess I haven't really thought about it that much.
Okay.
But
that's
about
fine.
Who to win, I'll still take the Eagles on the advantage of the best roster in football.
You know,
how about you? What do you got?
Average, you know, intelligences get along together. I think that's why we both get along. I go the contrarian route every year too, and I'm very chalky in my overall picks so far that we've made on the show, the AFC picks. And my NFC picks are going to be pretty chalky, too. You know, typically you get out of the 14 playoff teams, you know, 5-6 of them are teams that weren't in the postseason the year before.
That's right.
I can't come up with that list this year. Usually I've got 4 or 5 teams that people are like, what? And it's hard to find the right 4 or 5. You know, it's hard to find the Washington last year or the Houston from the year before. But I don't see it this year. I think it could be a real chalky kind of a season. So I'm with you on that. All right. Let's start with tonight. You know, if you've got a lot of the Eagles, if you've got A.J. Brown and you've got, you know, Jalen Hurts and you've got Saquon Barkley, you got to have him in the game against Dallas's defense, don't you?
Yeah, we're certainly starting all of our Eagles. That makes sense. And one of the beauties of the Eagles is they don't really have fringe guys. They've got, you know, just like obvious players that you absolutely want to start. And then you don't have to go to Jahan Dotson. That's, you know, it's part of the beauty of that roster. It's start all of your Eagles. And there's a lot of sort of baked in advantages right now for the Eagles and what is maybe the easiest start of their season. Last year, Dallas saw the most fantasy points to opposing passers and the fourth most to opposing wide receivers. So every part of that Eagles passing game is definitely in play. And then they'll run the ball through a lot of the second half of that game. Saquon Barkley likely sitting on a big matchup. And by the way, Kevin, why did the NFL put this dog matchup as their signature kickoff to the season? Everybody knew, but even before the Micah Parsons trade, Dallas had the stench of death.
Yeah, the answer to that is the Cowboys are still a massive draw. I lost you there for a second. But, you know, we talked a lot about how many great home games the Eagles had before the schedule came out. And I thought there was a lot of momentum potentially for a rematch of the NFC Championship game with Washington at Philadelphia. They've got the Rams at home. They've got the Lions at home. They've got the Broncos at home. So there were a lot of possibilities. But I had that guy Mike North, who's a big part of making the schedule, on a couple of times during the spring. And, you know, last year they kind of broke trend of, hey, people are going to watch this game, so we don't need a great matchup. You know, they had Detroit when they weren't very good against Kansas City, and they went with Baltimore KC last year, and they just decided to put their highest draw team along with Kansas City, you know, into the opener against the Eagles. They'll get a massive number. You know they will.
We're watching for the train wreck. We're not watching for a same game. We're watching to see, quote, America's team get their ass handed to them and Jerry Jones get the comeuppance that he deserves as the worst general manager in football right now.
It's week one, Sharks. You know that week one, you know, anything kind of happens. I mean, it's kind of a head fake week. We'll see, but you could be right, and I think a lot of people will be rooting to see that. All right, so give me the player that went undrafted in most leagues that you feel you got to pick up now before week one.
And I'm not saying this to this is not an answer I'm changing in all my various stops today at the behest of various localities. It's Chris Rodriguez. He's the player who went undrafted in fantasy leagues that, you know, maybe less so in your market than others, that I think is going to be somebody that coming out of week one, I think he's going to be the hot waiver wire pickup, and you want him on your team already. So again, your audience already knows more about him, but you get the big body that he brings. 225. You get the promising track record on very limited carries in years past, but 4.8 yards per carry, 4.9 yards per carry in his first two seasons. And let me drop this Chris Rodriguez stat on you, because I love this one. Only had 35 rushes last year, so small sample size. But among every NFL player who had at least his 35 rushes last year, Chris Rodriguez, number one in broken tackle rate.
Wow. That's not one I knew. I knew his, you know, rushing DVOA was pretty high. I did not know, you know, again, small sample size, as we know.
Small sample size.
And a lot of, you know.
And goal line back, right?
Here's the funny thing about Rodriguez is that the seventh round pick, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, he likes to be called Bill Kroski-Merritt. He's going to get a lot of carries. And I actually wonder if one of those two could be inactive on Sunday, because it's hard to carry four running backs on a game day roster. And Eckler will be up and McNichols will be up because McNichols is an outstanding special teams player. And so I wonder if one of those two others will be inactive. It may not happen, but everybody here, Charge, has all along. It's like, why haven't they liked him as much as we seem to like him? The reason was he wasn't in shape. You know, he didn't, you know, that he basically admitted it as much, that the issue with the last couple of years was he just didn't get into the kind of shape that they wanted him to get into. Apparently he's in that shape now. He's a good runner, though. You're right. Give me the first round player, you know, this year that kind of saw his draft stock fall the farthest based on recent, you know, last year.
It's Devon Achane, who started this year in the drafting cycle, you know, that starts in July, where people start starting their drafts a lot more often and playing contest stuff. He was Devon Achane, the Miami running back, was going like pick 8, pick 9. He has slid all the way now to pick 18, pick 19, pick 20. And I think Miami is a team that a lot of people are nervous about, and for good reason. And Achane last year, he was the 10th highest scoring running back. It was a great find if you took him. But you've got so many things that can go wrong in Miami. Kevin, terrible offensive line. You've got his injury history, which is significant in college, and then his rookie year last year played 17 games, which stunned us, and now he's already hurt with a calf injury. Any play could be the last play of Tua's career. And when Achane played in five games without Tua last year, he was horrible. He did nothing. The whole offense just languished. They couldn't get anything going. And then here's the real deal killer for Devon Achane from this preseason. They're not going to use him at the stripe. They drafted Ollie Gordon, this big body power runner from Oklahoma State.
They like
him,
right?
He's going to be the goal line guy. Yep. He looked really good in the preseason. And Achane had struggles because he's so small of build. He couldn't power in the ball at the stripes. Those easy touchdowns are going to go to Ollie Gordon and not Devon Achane.
Interesting. What is expected out of J.J. McCarthy? You're a Vikings guy. What does Kevin O'Connell think he has in McCarthy, especially early in his first season of playing?
Yep, and even though McCarthy didn't play last year, he rolls into this start as the NFL's youngest quarterback at 22. He'll be on Monday Night Football. Now, granted, he played at Michigan, so he had a ton of spotlight games and big moments at Michigan. But this is still a little bit different. This is a tricky spot. Chicago, the opponent, Kevin, gave up the fewest passing touchdowns last year. This is a very good secondary anchored by an elite cornerback named Jalen Johnson, who really get enough national attention. Yes, and I know you know who we're talking about. And then you've got all this tumult with the wide receivers for Minnesota. Justin Jefferson missed all of training camp with a hamstring injury. They just traded to get Adam Thielen in, and their third string guy, Jalen Naylor, has got a hand injury, and he missed all of training camp. And so that I think we're going to just see a lot of running, and not a lot of passing from J.J. McCarthy unless the Vikings get down by a lot, which I don't think is going to happen. But they'll try for a balanced offense against a bad run defense last year. And Jordan Mason is the guy to watch here.
Yeah, you've been talking about
it. Regardless of where you drafted Jordan Mason, he could be sitting on a very big game, Kevin. You know, if for those of you, you can legally wager where you are, Jordan Mason to score a touchdown or two touchdowns would be very interesting to me in this game.
I saw that one of our Terps made the Minnesota roster. I thought Ty Felton was excellent and would be an NFL receiver. With all those injuries, could he be active and a contributor Monday night?
No, sadly.
Okay.
Honestly, just being honest with you, it was a disappointing training camp where they needed Ty Felton to step up with all these receivers missing time. They needed him to splash. And it didn't happen, and
okay.
His role looks like he's going to just be a special teamer, at least at the start of the season. There's a lot of hand-wringing in this town that, like, Isaac Kessla was not drafted. They had other, you know, they put real draft equity into Ty Felton, and they could have really used him. And because he didn't splash, they had to go get Adam Thielen.
Well, the good news is they're playing real games now. So we'll see what happens in real games versus, you know, summer training camp and preseason. All right, I kind of alluded to this player, but I know that he's intriguing to you because he's a bottom rung quarterback fantasy wise, but you think that he may be worth a play this weekend. Tell everybody who that is.
Joe Flacco, who went off the board as quarterback 31 in fantasy drafts. So, I mean, nobody interested in Joe Flacco, but what a great opportunity to start him this week against Cincinnati. And let me look more broadly. Let's just, Kevin, and I know you know this, and we've hit on this in the past. Kevin Stefanski has won Coach of the Year two different times, and when he's not been shackled to Deshaun Watson, the Browns have been a good team. You know, and good offenses. You know, Joe Flacco was on this team 2 years ago.
He lit it up. He averaged over 300 yards and three touchdowns down the stretch to get him into the postseason.
Yeah, it was remarkable. You know, and that was only 1 year removed from that season with Joe Flacco and Kevin Stefanski back together again.
Yeah.
You know, they have good receivers. Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku went berserk with Flacco 2 years ago in that stretch. And they've got a promising young player named Cedric Tillman, who, if he went undrafted in your league, you might want to pick up. The Bengals are going to score a ton of points. This thing's going to be a shootout. They're going to be throwing like crazy. And I love Joe Flacco against a bad Cincinnati secondary.
And Joku said something to the effect when camp started, the happiest all of us have been as Cleveland Browns was at the end of the 2023 season when Joe Flacco was the quarterback. He is a leader, and he gave us the best chance that anybody's given us at quarterback. I actually think there's a chance he's going to start a lot more games than a lot of people think. Everybody's counting down the weeks until it's Dylan Gabriel and then eventually Shedeur Sanders. But Stefanski's good, and that offense is right for, you know, Flacco, who can still sling it. He can still throw it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. What else? Anything I miss?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if there's one guy that one quarterback that I would not start that got drafted like a starter, I'd show some real caution on Justin Fields.
Okay.
Revenge game against his old team, Pittsburgh. And that's a coaching staff that knows all of his weaknesses, of which there are many as a passer. And then the Jets, they lost their starting guard, Elijah Vera Tucker. He's by far their best lineman. They just lost him yesterday. The Steelers pass rush ranked number one by Pro Football Focus, you know, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. And they allow the fourth fewest quarterback rushing yards. So I don't even know if Fields is going to help you on the ground. So, you know, if it came down to Fields or Joe Flacco, I would go Joe Flacco if you want just the safe selection here. I think, Tim, Jets could be really bad this year.
As always, thanks. I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy week one.
Awesome. You're the best. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchian, everybody. At Paul Charchian on X on Twitter. All right, we've got our NFC division winners, wild cards, underperforming team, overperforming team, and a bold prediction as we do our NFC picks next.
All right, happy September 4th. It is Thursday, the first day of football. I am Max Ames. Here is the news of the morning. The Broncos and linebacker Nick Benito reached an agreement today on a four-year extension worth up to $120 million, including $70 million in guarantees. Benito, now the highest-paid non-quarterback in Broncos franchise history. And according to ESPN and Adam Schefter, the Philadelphia Eagles made a strong push to trade for former Cowboys pass rusher Micah Parsons. Philly and GM Howie Roseman inquired about his availability, and Dallas had very little interest in trading him to another team in the NFC East. Plus, Juwan Jennings, he ends his holdout with the 49ers, and they add $3 million in incentives to his deal. He can earn up to $10.5 million in the final year of his contract. To baseball, the Nats, they sweep the Marlins in what will be described as the Nassim Nunez game. Nunez was called up from AAA Rochester on Monday, went 3-for-4 with two home runs yesterday. Final score for the Nats, 10-5. And finally, football is back. The Dallas Cowboys, they travel to the Link in Philadelphia for the inaugural game of the NFL's regular season. It is also banner night for the Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 8.5 with a heap of sharp money coming in on the defending Super Bowl champs. That'll be tonight at 8:20 on NBC. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980. Hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.